We have a couple new sponsors in 2018. Rob Dukansky of RE/MAX First Advantage. You can reach him at 855-350-1015 or online at robsellsnj.com. True story, Rob sold my house in 3 days. I spent a lot of time in real estate. I'm a licensed broker in a few states, and I can tell you, Rob Dukansky is the best. We're happy to have him on board, Speaking Millennial. Our other big sponsor for 2018, CSI Group. The CSI Group, you can reach them at 1-800-TAX-LAWS or CSICPA.com. This is a family business, but they've got locations all over New York and New Jersey. And I'm going to tell you, taxes are too complicated to go it alone. Don't think that you're going to go online and just plug and play and get it done. You don't want to have a letter from the IRS a couple years after you file your taxes and find out you made a big mistake. And the CSI Group will give you a free consultation. So all you got to do is call them at 1-800-TAX-LAWS and they will help you out. Remember, you don't know what you don't know. I'm happy to talk about one of our sponsors, great sponsor, good friend, Vinny Brand, owns the Stress Factory in New Brunswick. The website is stressfactory.com. Vinny Brand runs one of the great comedy clubs, honestly, in the country. Not only does he have A-list comics coming in almost every single week, but the show is great. The food is fantastic. The staff, the service, there's parking right next door. If you've not discovered the Stress Factory in New Brunswick, you've got to get there. Go to stressfactory.com and buy your tickets. It's a great night out, reasonable cost, absolutely hilarious entertainment, great food and hospitality. Stressfactory.com.
Looking for a car, new or used? This is Jay Black to tell you there's no better destination than our friends at the Flemington Car and Truck Country family of brands, located on Route 202 and 31 in Flemington and at Flemington.com. Here you will find 16 automotive brands, plus over 500 available certified pre-owned vehicles to fit every budget. You'll get the financing, the trade-in value, and the credit you need, and dependable vehicle service maintenance that delivers peace of mind. Choose from Ford, Lincoln, Audi, Volkswagen, Porsche, Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, Cadillac, Infiniti, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, Ram, BMW, and Subaru. Shop them all, knowing every Flemington Car and Truck Country location has earned the coveted dealer-rated customer satisfaction award for 2017 based on your reviews. The Flemington Car and Truck Country family of brands, an honest, straightforward organization that has been satisfying customers for over 40 years. Family, independent, not corporate. Visit any of their 8 dealership locations on routes 202 and 31 in Flemington or at Flemington.com. There's a lot of really cool stuff about our new sponsor, Tito's Handmade Vodka. And I could tell you about all of it. I could tell you how great it tastes. I could tell you how it's the best way to relax after a hard day. I could tell you that it's distilled from corn, so it's gluten-free. I could tell you that it's made right here in America, in Texas. And not just Texas, the best part of Texas, Austin. It's the best part of Texas. I could tell you the thing I love most about Tito's Handmade Vodka. They use old-fashioned pot stills and they taste test every batch. It's the same way that they make fine single malt scotches and high-end French cognac. Why is this amazing? Well, it's amazing because as John F. Kennedy said, we don't go to the moon because it's easy, we go to the moon because it's hard. And this is a harder way to make vodka, but it makes for better vodka. That's why it's handmade vodka, and that's why you gotta go out and get Tito's Handmade Vodka right now.
3, 2.
Hey guys, welcome back to Speaking Millennial. I have no idea when you're listening to this because I can't keep track of dates, times. I have no idea, but I'm here with Jessica and Jay.
And we're in around a spooky campfire, everybody.
Yeah, there's a little echo. The echo is because Mike Baldini, who's the promoter at Joe Conklin's Comedy Club at Parks Casino, had to pull us away from the music because we can't hear the music in the back. So I'm hoping you're not hearing this, because if you are, there could be a licensing issue.
Can you believe that this is an original song that sounds maybe just like something that was recorded by...
That was just me, Jay, and Jessica singing on the walk in.
Yeah, we have a jazz trio now, everybody. It's really good.
But there's no green room, so Mike has put us in this back kind of an alley.
Yeah, it looks like...
I'm slightly concerned. I'll tell you why. There's a camera in the corner.
It's so big. It is like an alley here.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
How did you guys not find it right away? You were both here before me, and I was standing here. You even said, hey, there's a sign out front. I almost texted to say, same entrance.
Yeah, you have like a radar to like walk into the...
Well, I
did. I literally walked right here.
I went to the valet.
Why don't you go to the Valet Park?
I Valet Park.
Did you pay to park?
It's free to park
at Parks Casino. Where it's free.
It's free to park.
The valet's free.
The valet is free.
Oh yeah. What are you going to tip him with? Popcorn, air, straws.
I have a poker tip. I say never draw on an inside straight. That was my dad's old joke. He would always say, that. "Hey, you want a tip? Never draw on an inside straight."
How many fights did that get him into?
Oh, he would a tip immediately thereafter. But that was his go-to joke. He was.
How many people are gambling over there?
Oh yeah.
Yes. Oh, I didn't see the poker tables. You guys walk. I walked past the slots.
Oh, did you see the poker tables?
No. Well, we walked past them together.
The difference is people at the poker tables are into their game, so they don't notice you.
Right.
And they'd be mad if you notice them. Right? They're concentrating.
There
focus.
Is like a separate outpost full of like a whole
really
group. I don't know.
And here in Ben Salem, it's the ritzy table.
Yeah.
$5 a hand. It
That's
is very big. The lower table, you can actually, and this is true, you can do nickel slots or you can bet one of your teeth. If a tooth falls out, you can put it in, and it's called the tooth fairy slot.
I'm overdressed for this comedy show.
You're overdressed for this tri-state area.
I kept the jacket on.
Do you have your fancy town picked out? All your
right,
fancy
so,
towns?
So I change the fancy towns depending on where I am. So if I'm in North Jersey, you mentioned Ridgewood, Summit, Westfield, South Jersey, Moorestown kind of gets the
Moorestown
play.
Moorestown or Haddonfield, another one.
Now in Ben Salem, so I'm going to mention Villanova, Main Line,
Haverford,
Wayne. I think Wayne is fancy.
When I first started doing stand-up, like literally my first ever gig that wasn't an open mic was at a Ground Round in Delaware.
No way.
I'm bragging, Jessica.
They have those?
Do you remember Ground Round?
Ground Round.
I do remember.
Yeah. Wait a minute, really? I would figure you were too young to know Ground Round.
No, we went there. I've been there.
Do you remember when they used to have popcorn?
There was one in my town, and it's a Chicken Pizza now.
There was a Ground Round in Bordentown?
Yeah, where Chicken Pizza.
Oh, I know, on Route 130.
You've been there.
I've been there.
Yeah.
That was a Ground Round.
I was at Ground Round in Delaware.
Love Ground Round.
I go there, and the MC says, hey, by the way, the stupid town is, and then he gave me like the local stupid town. And I didn't know why he would tell me that. I didn't realize it was like
a
thing that most comedians do is say, hey, it could be worse. You could be in insert stupid town.
What was the stupid town?
I can't remember.
Who says that? Is that shtick? I do it not for that. Like, it's a part of my whole...
I wouldn't have brought it up if it wasn't... Like, if you were doing it. I would just talk to Jessica off air about it. Like,
I feel the need now to explain the joke without giving the joke
away. Sure, yeah. No,
it's the hospital situation that I got myself into. But I'm adding to it tonight. I've got new material tonight.
I can't wait. Yeah. But that's a good bit, and that's not a hacky bit. But it is kind of hacky to have a throwaway line where you need to know what the dumb town is.
Well, wait. All right, so growing up in Bordentown, what was the town you're like, at least we don't live there?
Well, what did he say? Oh, God, in Delaware? I feel like... How can you make fun of a crappy town in Delaware?
You know what? It's like...
They're basically all, like, oh.
It's the whole state's a crappy town.
What? Delaware?
I like
Low
Delaware.
Taxes. No sales tax. The business taxes are fantastic.
But
it's like one big strip mall.
There's literally nothing to do. Delaware looks like what a communist's fever dream is about what capitalism does to a place. It's like, how many mattress kings could there possibly be? Like, that's sort of what Delaware feels like. But no, it's I forget the name of it. It'll pop into my head, I'm sure, as soon as the podcast is over. But it is a kind of hacky thing for a comic to go, well, you know, last night I was in, and then insert dumb town here.
Pemberton.
And then everybody in the crowd goes,
oh, Emberton.
Yeah.
Yes. I was going to say Atco.
Atco is pretty far.
Right? Because of the raceway.
Yeah.
I would agree.
Yeah, that would be that would be a good throwaway where you go like, well, it could be worse. Tomorrow I'm emceeing the races at the Atco Raceway. And people go, oh, geez, fine. He knows where the dumb part of the town is.
So he must be smart and sophisticated.
Right.
Is that it?
So, yeah. But so that's a standard thing where the comic will tell you the local dumb town.
The entire time you guys are talking about that in Ground Round, I'm thinking about one thing.
You need McDonald's. To explain your joke. McDonald's.
Well, that's not good. No, McDonald's.
Are you craving it now?
Yes. Here's two things happened. One, you brought McDonald's. And the wafting smell of the fried grease that came with the nuggets. And, and like, you're like, oh, it's so delicious.
Yeah.
So what was that? Last week at...
Scotty's
Pub. Springfield. A very nice town.
Yes.
And today on the show, which will have aired probably a couple weeks ago, depending on the timing.
We have one
Yeah. So this guy is a venture capitalist. He has his own account that he trades on.
Wait, hold on a second. A venture capitalist, you say, Bill? Would he want to invest in the movie world, do you think?
Well, I should call him. Well, here's the thing. I could have asked him, except something happened. He goes to a morning meeting. He said, I was coming back. I get to my computer. I got to wire some money. He's like, a little bit of money. I turn on my computer. My account has $89 million in it.
What happened?
$89
million. Is this in the news, like a headline?
Yes. Okay. So I did it. So I interviewed him today. So I told the desk, I'm like, I don't even want to do the headline unless I can talk to the guy.
Right.
So I get the guy, nicest guy, Danny. Danny Levine, that's his name.
Okay.
So Danny Levine wakes up and tells me a story. He's like, yeah. And I'm like,
has $1 billion almost.
Yeah, he's got all this money. So I said, well, you got almost $90 million. Like, at what point did you think for, at any point, you're like, I could just transfer this? So he's like, let me tell you, only for a couple seconds, but because it kept flashing as I was refreshing the page, that cash available to withdraw was like $89.5 million. That's a lot of money. So I said, well, what were you going to do with the money if it was really yours? He's like, I was hungry. I was going to go buy a Big Mac.
Yes.
Back to McDonald's, right? So $89 million, well, he's thinking about Big Macs. That's what men think of.
Yeah. No, that is true. Sometimes my wife will say, what are you thinking of right now? And
it'll be, Big Mac?
Meat is a big part of it. Well, here's the thing about
so it's kind of your fault.
I said I was every day waking up saying, don't eat McDonald's chicken nuggets. Every day.
Yeah. Well, you have to give in.
You move on through the day.
And you did it.
So eventually, after like a year, I gave in.
I had that same thought with Adderall and scotch.
Yeah.
Don't take that Adderall and drink scotch.
I just want some Adderall and scotch.
Yeah, I mean, Adderall and scotch would be a great memoir title.
I opened the whiskey.
Oh, yeah, I got you a bullet whiskey.
The bullet was great. Yeah, it's good. Yeah. It's very good.
Well, you're going to have to describe it to me because I can't drink any of it.
But you know what it tastes like. Yes. You don't forget that.
No, that's so good.
But was bullet around when you were drinking?
No, but whiskey was.
Right.
So
this is so smooth. Do you want me to go on? Do you want me to discuss it?
No, I don't.
No,
I
sorry.
Don't. This must be what it's like to describe pork to an Orthodox Jew. Where you just sit there like, that sounds really good, but I
just have no idea.
I can't have any of it.
Into like a hot toddy and come on in and be like, no!
No, really? It's so good.
I mean, that's all he's got.
Wow.
And I'm sick. Hot toddies are great. A lemon.
I do love a hot toddy. You know what? I do love a hot toddy. But you're right. You could use the cheapest whiskey possible and you're not going to know the difference.
Yeah.
I had an impacted tooth once where I was. Well, this is a different one.
Oh, yeah. You had dental problems last week.
Yeah, no, they're pulling my tooth on Monday. Because it's a wisdom tooth that got a cavity in it, but it's a deep cavity.
Yeah, yeah.
So the guy's like, oh, let's pull it out. So I'm going to go Monday for that. But prior to that, I had a filling that got an abscess in the middle of it. You know, it presses on the nerve.
Is this like in college?
Yes, in college. I think I probably told this story before. But this is where they said, I bring this up because my stepmother was like, you need hot toddies. And this is when I was drinking. I was like, that's a really good idea. So I had like five of them, and I was like, I feel great. And then I got the call back from the gum specialist, and he was like, you're coming in tomorrow, but just don't drink tonight, and you should be fine, because I don't want there to be any booze in your system for
I know.
I handled
you just
it.
Went here
today. I just went. I lived.
You survived.
I did. Barely. Unless I'm still in the chair, and they haven't been able to wake me up.
This is all a dream.
At the periodontist.
How did we get into your
little alley right now?
We'll take a picture in here for the cover.
Can
we rotate our cover pictures?
I don't know if we can actually.
No idea.
Excellent.
We got to do video too, real fast. Not right now, but
there's a very strange stock photo on the 115
of us.
It's a stock photo of somebody listening to a podcast?
Like a chick with headphones on.
Really?
Is it you?
Why?
No.
Oh, then it doesn't make any sense.
Now I gotta go look at it. Really? I don't understand why. Why?
So
why did they do that?
At the comedy show last week, you had this template.
Yeah.
How long were you just standing up there wishing I would come back at the end of the edit?
What do you mean? Like when I called your name?
Yes.
I don't know, like 15 seconds tops.
Oh, really?
Okay, yeah. Good. There was no big
I
deal.
Felt guilty about that.
Don't feel guilty. It's funny, when you don't come back. Then it becomes a thing, everybody laughs, and that's the goal. But that was the show we had to throw somebody out.
Yes.
during my show because the guy was too drunk to even engage with.
Was I too nice to him? You went back and forth with him a little bit.
You did the right thing. You engaged with him early.
I just said, listen, guy, nobody paid to hear you. I did. Yeah. I said, listen, relax. His shirt said something.
No, it said, don't waste any line. It was a cocaine shirt.
Oh my God, I thought it was lines like a script.
Yeah, that's how you presented it, which presented is very funny. Because you're like, your shirt says, don't waste any lines. Don't waste any lines on me tonight. Let me do the lines. Which made sense in the context.
Oh my God, I am a complete idiot.
Yeah.
I literally had no idea. I was in
the, but wow. Me as coming from a different point of view went, that is most definitely a cocaine related shirt.
Yeah. So it was a Coke shirt?
Yeah,
and
always
it was
lines.
Like a script shirt?
And you said, let me do all the lines.
Yeah, I'm like, they didn't pay to hear you do lines. I'll handle the lines tonight. You just sit there and enjoy your drink.
Bill, there was a time in my life I could have said that and meant it.
Wow. I had no idea. So did I do like a drug faux pas? Like what is
that? No, you didn't.
In drug culture when I've insulted the cocaine, I want to.
No. You don't insult cocaine. You can maybe really insult somebody on a marijuana.
Who wears a cocaine shirt?
A shithead that gets kicked out of a comedy club.
No, you did. You did not.
Have you ever seen a cocaine shirt? Like, can you buy a shirt like that?
I know what that shirt is.
You can buy an Eric Clapton shirt. That's basically.
I don't think I would have known.
I had literally until you just said that. Here we are, two weeks later.
Yeah,
full circle. It was a cocaine shirt,
and that,
I'm gonna be. You know what? My whole set's done tonight.
That guy was
up there, and all I'm thinking about is the Coke shirt.
That guy was douchey, even by cocaine standards.
Yeah,
like you meet people on cocaine; they're very douchey. They're red faced. They're in your face. They're talking very quickly.
Well, they're intense.
They're intense. This guy was douchey. Even other coke heads would be like, "Could we not do cocaine together anymore? Because you really are giving all
his friends all denied him. I'm not sure who came in with whom."
Yeah, no.
When he got thrown out, like the other ladies there, they're like, "Yeah, we don't know. Yeah, he's a mess. Get rid of him."
Definitely
worth it. They were so
the best part about it was that they loved when he left. It was the right decision to throw him out. But I kept pretending. I would do this comedic thing where I would pretend to be him and start to say stuff. There was a little old woman in the front row. Whenever I said something as that guy, like, "Look at me, I'm a real big asshole." But I changed my voice so that you knew that. But the little old lady kept thinking I was talking about myself. And she would go, "No, you're not a bad guy. That other guy was the bad guy." And I kept going. I said to her, "If I could bring you home with me, and not sexually." And she said, "Slow down. Maybe we could do sexually, too." Which I thought was very nice.
Are you serious?
Yeah, she was 78. 70, maybe 80. I don't know.
What were you saying on the way out with that line of women? Was it a bachelorette party or it was just a group of women who were like on a girls' night and that was the trouble group? This group of comedians have to avoid?
Oh, bachelorette parties.
Right?
Bachelorette parties. Yeah, we've talked about this on the show before, I think, with Jess. Wasn't there one there?
No, there's a group of women in that center table.
Oh, no. I don't know what was going on there except that I feel like there was a lot of wine being drunk and a lot of... I feel like that
Chardonnay
table...
Crowd.
There was a lot of Chardonnay and drama being sussed out by that group.
Vinny brought her up on stage, like one of the ones in the center.
While you were there.
Yeah. Because she didn't like that Vinny didn't respond to the RSVP.
Yeah.
She was horrified.
Yeah, that's all. It's a horrifying thing to do.
A gift yet?
No. When I hand her over on the gift coming, you know what? I was reading this book on the honeymoon, and it said something about, it was like in Auschwitz. And before they're living in ghettos, they had these like letters that were coming, and they didn't know that the letters were sending them to Auschwitz. So they made these jokes because everyone like was going off to a work camp and they weren't coming back. They had jokes saying, "Oh, did you get a wedding invitation? Because it's an invitation to a party you don't want to attend."
Oh, wow!
And I was like,
"That's deep and heavy and dark."
I was like, "Wait a minute!"
And you thought of Vinny?
Yes.
Wow.
Usually I'm the one making
go to weddings.
That's what I was wondering.
Am I not getting this either?
Jay very clearly did not want to go to a wedding.
No. I want to say this.
He bristled at the whole ceremony idea.
One quick thing. I just want to take a moment to note it's usually me making a leap from a very dark place to the current conversation. This is, I think, the first time Jessica's done it. I just want to take some credit that I've infested her mind. I feel like that's me, Bill.
Wow, do you?
I do think that's her going... Well, this thing about Auschwitz makes perfect sense in the terms of my wedding. It's something I would do, and I'm proud of you. I like that.
I'm going to be up there in about 10 minutes, like the guy from Crashing.
Thinking about
Right, when his wife dumps him and he just bombed. I'm like, yeah. I'll be thinking about Auschwitz, wedding invitations. Yeah. Oh my God. And line shirts.
Yeah. But I just want to say this, what, Jessica. I wanted to come to your wedding. So I went to your wedding.
Not the church.
I didn't go to the church.
Well, no, the wedding is the ceremony.
Yeah.
The celebration and the...
I went to the celebration.
Well, the truth is, the celebration is really the wedding ceremony.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm
Catholic. It's a mass, which is a celebration.
Bill, people not like going to weddings.
I love going to weddings.
So I don't like the ceremony. I don't like any ceremony at all. I don't like ceremony, and church is the highest form of ceremony.
Well, like, you're worried you'd be like the guy in Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Like I would burn
just all of a sudden burst into flames and your skin would melt.
Yeah, just for my entire life, I was raised Catholic, so I went to all, I mean, and I went, you know, every Sunday. I went to Catholic school for 4 months before Bishop Eustace, before they said no. I went to CCD. I got confirmed.
What do you mean they said no?
We parted the ways. We thought it would be best if I wasn't at Bishop Eustace anymore. I was a bit of a punk as a child. Yeah, I you could see that.
I went for like 20 minutes to just know Drunk Jay.
Oh, Drunk Jay was so happy. He was such a nice guy. No.
I think we met you
as I was getting clean.
Right? How did it happen? Jessica and I were doing the Joe Piscopo thing. So Joe said, you got to call Jay Black.
As I was getting...
Did you call him that?
I called him on a cruise ship. And he was like, hello. And he came in chasing news.
Yeah.
That's right.
He's very timid.
Yes. Yeah. So
are you a quiet talker on the phone?
I don't know. Maybe because it was the cruise, because I'm calling via 13 satellites. So I had just gotten out of the program, and literally the first text I get is Joe Piscopo. And I'm like, well, this cements my D-list celebrity more than anything else could possibly. So I get out, because you're not allowed to have a phone in the program. Because like you,
how long was it?
Well, the one that I was at, it was 6 weeks outpatient, and you could have a phone then.
Not on a ship.
Yeah, no, that was later on. But the inpatient one.
In the East Coast, or to go to California?
I went East Coast. I was, you couldn't have a phone, you were like in with other nutsos and crazies and wackadoos.
I feel like we could do a whole show.
Oh, yes.
I know, realizing you're a nutso. What? Are you a nutso?
Is that what you felt? Like, I'm the nutso too? Or, oh my God, I'm not crazy, I should stop drinking.
So, yeah, so it was a lot of things that happened. Right. I was in with the, so actually something really cool happened. I'm in the nutso ward because I'm spinning out of control. And I'm in talking to the doctor, and the doctor's like, what do you do for a living? And I go through, I'm like, well, I'm a comedian and I'm a writer and I perform in movies. He's like, uh-huh. And he, you know, writes it down. Comes the next day, I'm at the cafeteria, and he goes, oh my God, I checked your IMDb. You actually do, you've been in movies. I was like, yeah, why would I have lied about that? And he goes, well, it's a very common issue in here that people think they're in movies. Like when you have bipolar dissociative breaks, one of the things your brain does is like, oh yeah, I was in that movie, of course. You know, like that's one of the nutty things. You put yourself in there. So he gets done telling me this and I'm laughing. He leaves and there's a guy over in the corner and he goes, oh yeah, you're in movies? And I was like, yeah. And he goes, me too. I was Iceman in Top Gun. And I was like, it was like the greatest moment ever.
Wow.
There was a woman in there that I met who said, hey, how you doing?
Full circle.
Yeah. And I was like, hi, I'm Jay. And she goes, I can't hear you over my teeth. And she keeps walking, which sounds like a line you would make up.
No.
Oh, no.
I've been thinking that.
Right? I feel like this is...
I was in there, so it's okay.
Okay, got it.
And I actually met...
What were her teeth doing? Chattering?
Well, she was on lithium to sort of keep herself centered. And the lithium level was off.
Oh,
and
God.
She was not psychotic.
Scary.
She was,
right?
Yes.
I'm forgetting the word now.
Why would you take that in the first place?
That settles your brain if it's all over the place. It's actually for bipolar people. Most people think bipolar, like manic depressive, is like some days I'm up and some days I'm down. Actual manic depressives, I never had mania. But true mania is like, you're at a... I was talking to a guy who was on lithium and talked about how much he hated lithium. But he said he was at a state fair and they had a car at the state fair. And he was looking at the car and all he could think was, I'm the only person who can drive this car. Like, I am the only one smart enough and fast enough and good enough as a driver to drive so his car. He stole a car. And that's how he got into the program.
He stole a car. So the program was more than just alcohol, drugs.
I got hip to the fact I was addicted to all this stuff while I was in the crazy ward. I thought I was just nutso. I was. But on top of that, I had... I was a depressive. I was, like, really bad depressive. But on top of that,
You were married at the time.
Yes. This is 2 years ago, right?
That's amazing. You've only known you for 2 years?
It's gone on 2 years.
Right. You've been sober the entire time.
Yep, haven't touched a thing. So So one of the things I had to realize was, like, I was self-medicating. Like, I was using Adderall and booze and everything to sort of get myself out of this crazy deep depression I was in. And, once they got me righted with the Wellbutrin and the therapy and everything else, I can't ever go back because that would put me into a negative place again. So, yeah.
Were you drinking when you came out of the program?
No, so I wasn't doing anything when I came out. I went right into the outpatient. Like, I left the inpatient, got the text from Joe Piscopo, set up the gig, and then started going to the outpatient every day. And that sort
so
of...
So it was our event that Jessica set up the first thing you
The
done?
First thing I had done after getting out of there. And
that?
I was scared to death.
That's right. You had no idea.
Yeah.
I was scared to death. I wouldn't be funny. You say that sarcastically. I was scared to death I wouldn't be funny when I walked in there because I had spent the last 5 years never going on stage without a chemical in my body.
You walked in sweating and panicking and late.
Yep. Because
really?
I was legitimately sweating and panicking and late.
So I was like, this guy's not going to come. But I guess...
I don't remember. What did Joe stay on stage
the whole
time?
Joe would have stayed on stage the whole time anyway.
He would have been fine.
Did I do anything that day? Is that where I did the muffin joke?
Yeah.
Yes. No.
The dog joke? I did like the dog thing. I would tell...
You must have done the muffin joke and the dog joke.
I think it was the muffin joke.
I did the dog joke in my writing class the other day.
Did you?
Yes.
How did it go? I love the dog joke.
Like, I did know where the punchline was going. But I feel like no one else did, so I was like... Well, I'm on the spot, and I know this one.
That's
so
great.
I'm gonna do it.
I think that's awesome.
That's awesome.
It's hard to tell a joke like that because it's long.
Yeah.
And the amount of buildup that goes with it that is more about you maintaining control than them. So it's good that you did that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway,
I thought your set last week was great.
Yeah, you did wonderfully.
Thanks.
And the pause, as I said to her before you went up,
it's harder to actually do a pause on purpose.
I know.
And no one got the joke the second time around when I didn't pause. Like
they weren't listening. They weren't listening. Then when you couldn't remember.
Well, you set it up for me to do not too terrible, and then I set it up for Jay to kill. Like it was like, because the crowd was really tough.
Yeah,
like the heckler guy was a disaster.
Right,
and he made everybody uncomfortable, and it was awkward.
Yeah, we were fighting against that level of awkward the entire time.
But by the time you were done, they were like, they loved you. Doing great.
Of course,
then,
Bill.
Obviously. And then Vinny brought you up.
No, I said to Vinny, I can't believe they're all laughing for Jay because it was like so intense.
We should have
Vinny was
that.
So happy. He was dancing around the room.
He's like,
I
can't wait to tell Jay. Jessica said, I can't believe they're laughing at him.
Nah.
The room was loosened up.
But then Vinny got dark on us.
Vinny told this crazy story.
Did it work?
It was just a sad story.
No. Was it about his time in an institution followed by his outpatient program?
Yeah, that brought us down a little bit. This one, believe it or not, was worse.
Yeah.
It was about a guy who got caught in a wood chipper.
It was graphic?
Oh.
Yeah.
Like,
and
he,
here's
and
the
he
worst
died?
Part about
like
it.
A detailed.
Detailed. So
was he just talking about Fargo?
It
thought that.
Yeah.
It was his landscaper.
His landscaper got caught in a wood chipper.
So the guy, I'm laughing. That's so funny.
His landscaper's brother.
Brother, sorry. That's right.
Yeah, well, that's why that guy became a landscaper.
So apparently,
he became a landscaper to seek revenge on the
they had a company.
Oh, okay.
So they were chipping wood, but something got stuck. So instead of doing whatever wood chippers do, reverse, he did this with his foot.
Oh, that's
kicked awesome. In
yeah.
the stuff. Not very smart. So his, I guess his jacket or something got caught on the branch or his leg of his pants.
On the branch. So he was holding the lever to stop the machine.
Right.
So quickly that.
And so did he die?
Well, he died. The brake ended up engaging. So the brake apparently is up top and you pull it down.
Okay.
So he grabbed the bar, but he was already caught. So the distance of the bar coming down to stop the machine was like, this is from his knees to his waist. Wow. Right?
That's
so he died holding the brake. I can't believe we just said this on the podcast.
Yeah.
Right?
I was horrified by the story.
You know what?
I have some inside story on this. That's the speech that Vinny was going to make at your wedding.
Okay.
So maybe it's good.
It's better here you go.
Ding, 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 ding. I want to tell a story about a wood chipper.
About a man and a wood chipper.
How did the audience respond? Were they like,
yeah? No. It was the three of us.
Oh, just the three of you. I thought he said they're on stage.
Oh, my God, no.
No, I said.
I was
Wasn't he?
Yeah.
He was like sad. He didn't have enough protein. Maybe. He is our sponsor, though. Let's just talk about Vinny Brand and the Stress Factory doing a great job.
You know what we might need?
Wellbutrin.
I'm going to go take it over to him.
He needs an assistant.
Right. And a little assistant named Wellbutrin.
Doesn't he have, like, multiple assistants?
I think he's got a lot.
By the way, we should reach out to GlaxoSmithKline, because I think
Wellbutrin comes up every time.
We talk Wellbutrin, and it really did save my life. We should really talk to getting them
It's a call you should make.
I think... yeah, I could do that. I'll call him up and say, hey, I was crazy. I'm not crazy anymore.
Your shit works. Yeah.
By the way, I just want to say I was never crazy. I was just immobilized by depression. A little different than being a nutso.
I'm going to introduce Mike Casey tonight.
Yes.
He's a Jersey guy. He's a funny guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's a left-wing nut.
Yes.
How else do you think I should introduce him?
Yeah, just do that.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he'll like that.
All right. Right? Why not? Well, I say that because Anthony, the guy that introduced us the other night.
Yeah.
Or not Anthony. Who was the guy that introduced us?
The Friday night, and then
it's like, hey, I Jay's the feature, Vinny's the headline, Jessica's hosting. I don't know how to introduce you. I'm like, I don't know, just some guy who dropped in.
Yeah.
And he actually said that.
And that's what he said.
Yeah.
Yeah, that don't. I got this guy, some guy who dropped in.
He
like, no, that's not the way.
He was mad that you were there.
Right?
Yeah. He was a little literal.
Do you think it's me?
No, I think
because tonight I walk in and Aldini is like, you're here?
Same thing.
Yeah, I think you were coming.
No, so here's the thing. I think it's because you're not a comedian first. You're other stuff before you're a comedian. And I think that, like, in the comedy world, sometimes it's like, well, I know that dirtbag is a comedian. Look at me and Mike Casey, we both look like...
Mike Casey, comedian.
Yeah.
Mike Casey.
You look at us and you go, comedian. I look at you and I go, oh, this guy's going to want to sell me some timeshares. You got that
one. I wore the jacket today.
Yeah, you got the jacket.
So I'm a mess.
Siri.
Yes. We have a huge event coming up on Saturday.
Yeah, can't wait.
Which already happened, so it went great. Went great.
Good job.
Good job. We have an RV to record the podcast. So we're going to bring bands in.
Oh, cool.
We're going to do a podcast with the different bands.
This is one I won't be at. This is my first time.
You should come.
Well, I can't. I'm in Connecticut.
Oh,
I'm performing. Yeah.
They sent me a picture of the sign on the RV. Not the RV, but the sign.
After show in Connecticut, go.
Yeah, how was it?
Fantastically.
Wait, where can I? Stress Factory?
No, I'm performing.
Vinny Brand, one of our sponsors?
Hartford, nowhere near
where
the Stress Factory is. The Brouhaha. It's in a basement. I performed in an attic last week.
Did you? Where?
The Comedy Cove.
Oh, my God. I was there, too.
Yeah.
By the way,
can we call that an attic? Do you know why I call it an attic, though?
Why?
You'll like this. Because they asked me my first time there not to call it an attic, because apparently it's a joke that a lot of comedians make.
Oh,
so I could not stop myself. I love the Comedy Cove. I love it. It's a great place to perform. And I love Gene, who was on our podcast last week.
I'm going to say this, because they will be future sponsors, I hope.
Yes.
But I think Parks Casino is excellent.
Yeah, Parks is great.
Not an attic.
Not an attic.
Not an attic. No, not an attic.
What a great slogan. Come to Parks.
You're not an attic.
And I think that much as I would love this to keep going.
I think we have to go get on stage.
Yeah, we got
to
go.
All right, thanks for listening, guys. Make sure if you downloaded this that you now go back to 101.5.com and subscribe.
Please.
That's the key. And rate and review.
And follow us on Twitter.
Yes, I'm at Bill Spadia. Jessica's at Chasing Jessica.
I'm at GlaxoSmithKline. Find me.